Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. The trade deadline is now over with. Now you need waivers. The Phillies got Wilson Ramos. They got left-handed pitcher Aaron Loop. Ramos from the Rays. Cash considerations or else a player. I believe they tried to pass off John Kruk. No, I'm just kidding. And Aaron Loop they got from Toronto for a minor leaguer, left-handed specialist. The Braves just picked up Kevin Gausman from the Orioles. Ryan Dozier's a Dodger. Ian Kinsler goes to the Red Sox. So and then Chris Archer, evidently, we're trying to seek complete word on this trade, but evidently he went to the Pirates, and evidently it's Austin Meadows and Tyler Glasnow. Wow. Pirates had their entire future built around Meadows. Okay. All right. Play-by-play call of the day. 13th inning, Fenway Park in Boston. Eddie Nunez has stolen second base and Blake Swihart to the plate.
The pitch. Swing, a line drive toward right center field, deep, and this ball is over the head of Quinn, bounces in the bullpen, ground rule, walk-off double, Blake Swihart and the Red Sox win in 13, 2-1. Blake Swihart drilling a bullet to deep right center, it hit on the track, and one hopped into the Red Sox bullpen, he's being mobbed. Between second and third base, Swihart with a walk-off double, scoring Nunez. Oh, was that stolen base big? Or else it would have been second and third. And the Red Sox win it in 13, 2-1 with some brilliant pitching. And the Boston Red Sox now have a six-game lead over the New York Yankees in the American League's Eastern Division race.
And there's nothing like hearing dirty water in the background. There's only one franchise in sports that plays dirty water in the background.
Love that dirty water.
All right. The key part of that was he talked about the steal because it's a ground rule double. He's able to score because you get two bases. I'm wondering how much that steal... Now, you don't base it on one play, but then kind of said, you know what, we should make this steal. We got to get Wilson Ramos. It's a big play. When you get into games like that where it is a decision here or there that can swing it for you, well, now it becomes, you know, now you're like, okay. It's interesting how the Red Sox last night beat the Phillies on, and this is not anti-Gabe Kapler, it's nothing to do with Gabe Kapler. But Alex Cora made two big managerial decisions last night, and they both involved Nunez, where they ran a hit and run, and Herrera came in to protect against it. Okay. And I think he started two steps, and the ball was hit. Uh-oh, had to go back. Then last night, Nunez stole the base, and not only did Nunez steal the base, he stole the base with complete and absolute ease. And because it was stolen with complete and absolute ease, you wonder if... And look, it's not as if... When Ramos gets back from the hamstring, you are talking about a .297 hitter with 14 home runs. The Braves know they need more starting pitching. So the Braves went out. And the Braves acquired Kevin Gausman from the Orioles. So that's what the contenders have done today. The Cubs got right-handed reliever Kinsler from the Nationals. Brad Ziegler and Jake Diekman go to the D-backs. So there's been a lot going on. And the Pirates evidently have acquired Chris Archer from the Rays. They're saying Matt Harvey's going to stay right now with the Reds. Jake Diekman goes to the D-backs from the Rangers. And they also get Brad Ziegler from the Marlins. Now, Key Brian Hayes, one of the top prospects in the Pirates organization, has been told he is not involved in the Chris Archer trade. Brian Dozier traded to the Dodgers. Deal done. Dozier and Machado have each hit 143 home runs since the start of 2014. The Brewers, of course, made one big deal to acquire a third baseman, obviously, which means Travis Shaw, who has never played second base in his life, is playing second base. So those are some of the moves that have been made. And, of course, Wilson Ramos on the DL with the hamstring, but he's going to be the starting catcher when he's there. I mean, he's going to be the everyday guy. No question. And then the Red Sox picked up Ian Kinsler from the Angels for a pair of minor leaguers, basically saying that they don't think Dustin Pedroia is coming back. That's why the other night I was listening to the Pirates broadcast, and they said, you know, you talk about Dickerson being out and so forth. They said, you know, look at the team like the Red Sox. I mean, imagine what they'd be like without J.D. Martinez. I almost like wanted to knock on the TV set and say, hey, you ever hear of Dustin Pedroia? League MVP, Rookie of the Year, World Series guy. You ever hear of him? He's been out all, you know, a good chunk of the year. So they picked up Ian Kinsler. And again, that's the kind of smart Dave Dombrowski move that Dave Dombrowski makes. That's what he does. Yeah. So those are the moves made. I mean, those are the big moves of the day right there. And it's been... Now you need to clear waivers. Clear waivers, you can make a deal. But the Chris Archer one, the Pirates, is intriguing. But what's interesting about this is, I know you saw the tweet, but all the reporting so far has not mentioned who was sent in the trade, even though you mentioned the tweet that says it was Austin Meadows, Tyler Glass now in a third player.
Yeah, I'm still seeing that on some of the various TV outlets in Pittsburgh. I guess that's just the surprising thing out of all this. The Pirates now suddenly not afraid to trade away their top prospects.
Well, you know what I say about that. And I've said it for a long time. There's a reason you're established in the major leagues. You are a major leaguer. There's a reason you're a prospect. You haven't established anything yet. And Kevin Gausman goes to the Braves. Now, the Braves have a really deep farm system. That's one thing about Baltimore, as Tim Kirchin said the other day. He said their farm system is so thin, so incredibly thin, that they needed prospects. That's why the Dodgers gave them, what did they give them, five prospects? I mean, look what the Dodgers have done. Dozier and Machado? That's half their infield. That's amazing. Well, here's one that will shock you. The NHL wants a cut of the gambling thing. Really? Yeah, okay, great. How shocking. Let's see.
I could have sworn I read a quote a ways back with the commissioner saying, "Ah, oh, that only really affects 1% of the NHL." Wow. Wonder what changed his mind. Oh, boy, this is now going to be commonplace across our landscape.
Okay, you put the team in Las Vegas. Okay. You didn't have a handle on the market? Come on. Oh, my goodness. We're going to have a lot of college football talk before this week is out, too. Because, okay, let me... we're going to get back to baseball here in a second. But yesterday I mentioned on the show that I strongly feel that the College Football Playoff Committee needs to put out to schools in no uncertain terms, hey, look, if you're not going to play 9 conference games, all right, which 2 conferences don't, we want to see you play 10 Power 5 schools. Now, last year, there was only one school in the college football playoff last year. Only one. Okay? That did not win its division, did not win its conference, and was the only one of the four that did not play 9 Power 5 schools. Or excuse me, 10 Power 5 schools. You know who that was? Alabama. Alabama is the only school that in last year's college football playoff that did not win its division, did not win its conference, and did not play 10 Power 5 schools in the regular season. Now, you want to talk about getting the benefit of the doubt? Nick Saban's won 6 national championships. Do you realize in 2 of them he didn't even win his division? Now here's a great trivia question. And again, this is in no way to put down what they've done. Zero. You know, when you put them in a big game, you know, he's a great coach. They're really, you know, a juggernaut in the whole thing. But you know what? They're not perfect. All right? Here's a trivia question for you. Of Nick Saban's national championships, how many were undefeated? He has 6. So how many were undefeated? Give it a shot there, Sean.
Ask me that one more time.
Of Nick Saban's 6 national championships, 5 at Alabama and 1 at LSU, how many are undefeated?
I'm thinking either 1 or none.
It's 1.
There you go.
1. The other 5, in other words, the invincible team has actually been beaten. Now, they hardly ever get beaten, but they've only gone through unblemished 1 time. 1. Now, they've been great year in and year out. But at the same time, when you're only putting 4 teams in, hey, Penn State last year lost twice. I mean, Alabama only lost once. But Penn State lost twice last year by a whopping total of 4 points on the road. Now, do you realize that, okay, these are the advantages they're getting right now at Alabama. You know, have they earned some of the advantages? Yeah, to a point, except I want a college football playoff committee that has the intelligence and the smarts, since they're in athletics, to know that every team is different every year. Okay? It's not a carryover from year to year. Guys go to the pros. Guys graduate. Freshmen come in. You're not the same team. It's not the same locker room. For some reason, they can't get that out of their minds. They think there's a carryover from year to year. That's not college sports, not any sport. That's why you don't have a lot of repeat champions. Hey, every team's different. Every locker room's different. You know, Russ Rose is the one that really imparted that to me. There was that run where Penn State won 4 straight national championships, and 3 of them essentially had the same cast almost every year. And I said to him, how do you get them to believe that every year is a fresh start? That last year, it's not like you banked wins and now you can go to the bank and draw some out when you need them. And he said, Steve, that's the whole thing. He says, I tell them every single year, we're a brand new team. We're 0-0. Stanford's a brand new team, 0-0. He says, it's up to you now with this team, this moment, this time to make your own legacy. Last year doesn't get you anything. And for some reason in athletics, you know, you have all these people sitting around a room in a conference room doing all this, and they seem to be the ones that don't get it. And so if you're sitting in a conference room and you blindly put up the resumes and one says conference champion, division champion, here's the record against the 10 Power 5 schools. Conference champion, division champion, record against 10 Power 5 schools. Conference champion, division champion, record against 10 Power 5 schools. Okay? Then you go, no division championship. No conference championship. Oh, and played 9 Power 5 schools? None on the road? Well, I mean, you know, non-conference, none on the road. I mean, they played 2 road. You didn't realize since his first season in 2007 they played 2 road games in non-conference? One was here. Do you realize that? I mean, they really are like stretching the parameters when it comes to competition. They really are at Alabama. You know, and I mean, this doesn't affect Penn State. This has nothing to do with Penn State. But when you have 4 slots available in the college football playoff, exactly what's the playing field here? I mean, you can't keep allowing one school to not have to meet the same criteria as other people. You can't keep allowing that to happen and later the college football, and they're the ones that tell everybody it's okay. It's not Alabama's fault. Alabama goes out and does what they're supposed to do. It's the playoff committee's fault. Look around. Have a standard. Okay, make people play somebody. Well, they play 8 conference games. They played Florida State, which ended up not being a great fit, but they're still a Power 5 school. And there are other games where with Colorado State, obviously the Mercer game. I mean, this is how the national champion finished last year. Non-conference game at home with Mercer and a loss to Auburn. Not exactly steamrolling down the stretch impressively. And they let him get away with it. Now, once they got in, they were unstoppable. But my question is, should they have been in? I don't think they should be in. What, just because they have the name Alabama and just because his name's Nick Saban? Cut me a break. The game's going to be bigger than that. It's got to be a lot bigger than that. And you can't keep cutting breaks to one organization. I mean, the BCS thing with LSU, they lost to LSU in the regular season. At home, 9-6, still got in, won the title. Can anybody else do that? That 9-6 game with LSU was one of the worst games I ever watched. I sat there kept waiting for something good to happen. I was looking forward to the game all day. Like, this is going to be great. It's going to be, boy, it's going to be a real slug out. What? Nope. It ended up being a lousy game. I don't think anybody got inside the red zone. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us. Wilson Ramos goes to the Phillies. Good pickup. Maybe a rental, but that's a good pickup. He's going to improve them behind the plate. And this has been obviously a lot of wild activity here at the end. But they get Wilson Ramos, and they get Aaron Loop, a left-hander, who in 12, 13, and 14, Loop was really good. I mean, really good. He really has struggled, though, the last couple of years, and he struggled this year. But I think they're looking for another left-handed arm that can come in with a left-handed situation and get somebody out. And that's what they're looking to do. And Ramos, though, Ramos is a great pickup. I think the Ramos trade is a really good trade. I think that, that helps him behind the plate and also helps him at the plate.
Lineups are in for tonight, by the way, for the Phillies. Odubel Herrera not in the starting nine. Gabe Kapler says, not benched for last night's mistakes. This was a planned day off that was set up over a week ago.
I have a bridge. It's for sale. Would you like to buy it?
The deadline just passed a half an hour ago.
How about digital media?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. Oh, what a trade deadline we've had. I mean, the days leading up, guys like Mike Moustakas going from Kansas City to Milwaukee, which meant Travis Shaw now has to play second base for the first time in his life. You've got Brian Dozier going from the Twins to the Dodgers, joining Manny Machado. I'll tell you, the Wilson Ramos deal I like, and I like a lot. And our good friend Jonathan Mayo is reporting to us that that in the end, the Phillies won't have to give up one of their top 30 prospects. Does that sound right?
On the money, correct.
Yeah. So the Phillies are not going to give up one of their top 30 prospects to get Wilson Ramos. Wow. So in an offense that's rated 18th in Major League Baseball, the Phillies, they get it. Now, he's on the DL with a hamstring, but he'll be off that in 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever. They're going to get a 297 hitter, a guy that's hit 14 home runs in 315 appearances, and can catch. And not only that, but who was the other suitor for Wilson Ramos? You gotta remember, sometimes it's more than just what you're, the surface that you got him. Sometimes it's who didn't get him and who wanted him. The Nationals wanted Wilson Ramos. The Phillies got him. Okay, so remember that. Brad Ziegler, a lot of people thought the Marlins would deal the reliever. They did to Arizona. And, of course, Chris Archer to the Pirates. Huge deal for Austin Meadows, Tyler Glasnow, and a third prospect. This has been wild here at the end. Wild, I tell you. It's wild and wacky. And then one of the quiet moves that was made was the Red Sox getting Ian Kinsler from the Angels. Now, there is an absolute pro's pro. They know they're not going to be getting Dustin Pedroia back. Brock Holt is invaluable all over the infield. Shortstop, third, first, because Raffy Devers is on the disabled list right now. And so they go out and they get a guy like Kinsler. Kinsler, right, yeah, has not hit for average the last 2 years. He's had a nice career. He's a 272 career hitter. But he's only hitting 239 this year. Hit 236 last year with Detroit. But this guy has hit 13 home runs already this year. He had 22 last year, 28 the year before. And not only that, has played in the postseason and is a 291 hitter in postseason play. Ian Kinsler has been able to hit in the big moments, including four career postseason home runs. So, teams improving themselves at the deadline. Let's get to Dick and Milton, because Gausman is gone. He goes to the Braves. And we don't know what prospects they got, but as Tim Kurchin said on the show Friday, he says the Oriole organization was so thin That's why they got five guys from the Dodgers. What do you have, Dick?
Well, I can live without Gosman, but I really thought that they would try to build around the second baseman, Jonathan Schoop, and they traded him to the Brewers.
Brewers, yep.
And he's been pretty much their whole offense the last 2 weeks, and they scored a lot of runs, but he hit five home runs in 5 days. Hell, they didn't hit five home runs in a month, the whole team. So I just am disappointed in losing him. I really am. I mean, I know they have a lot of bad baseball players, so to speak. And I think Adam Jones didn't want to be traded. I don't think he wanted to leave Baltimore.
You know what? They might not win 50 games.
Well, they're not going to win 50 games this year. And they're going to have, I mean, hopefully these guys that they picked up from these minor league ball players can really play eventually, or maybe not next year, because their minor league system's not very good either. If they had good minor league players, they would be playing at that level, some of them.
No, that's the biggest problem. I think it's one of the reasons they made a deal with the Dodgers, Dick. Dodgers gave him five prospects for Manny Machado. I think they were looking for not only quality, but they were looking for volume, too, because their minor league system is just depleted.
They're not very good. But you know what? When I saw that the Nationals would get rid of Harper, I'm thinking anybody's fair game anymore. Could have. They didn't, but...
Yeah, no, they could have, but you're right, they didn't. Archer goes from Tampa Bay to Pittsburgh. I mean, the Pirates gave up Austin Meadows and Tyler Glass now. Now, everyone knows I'm not big on Austin Meadows. I think he's going to be an average major league player. I've thought that the entire time, and evidently Neil Huntington thinks the same thing I did.
But, you know, when I said about Adam Jones, I think for some reason he might have bought a really big time house in Baltimore. It might have been, I'm not sure, it might have been, well, it doesn't matter. It's a real big mansion he bought. I just don't think, he's getting older anyhow. I don't think he wanted to leave. He could turn down going anywhere.
He can. There's no question that he can.
And I think he was,
hey, sometimes
he was
people
being
are
rumored.
Happy where they are, you know?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying is I think he's there. I think he might have bought Cal Ripken's house or something like that, Young Cal's, or for some reason. I'm not sure. And my only other comment is I see where Paul Polesny had an 11-year career and retired. You know what? There's a guy that really could play football. I mean, really, really was a good Penn State football player. And 11 years is a nice NFL career in this day and age.
It's a great NFL career if you can get 11 years out of it. Most guys get 2 to 4 years out of it. He gets 11. That's 11 years worth of paychecks. And the irony is between Buffalo and Jacksonville, last year was the first time he ever made the playoffs.
You would know this a lot better. For some reason, I thought he was a really, really good student at Penn State. Was he pre-med?
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was at Penn State.
I mean,
he was an excellent student at Penn State.
Yeah, so, really good student.
He can, as I told Paul one time before he left, I said, you know what, you're going to be the kind of guy that's going to succeed in anything you do. That's just the way he is.
You know, I mean, he wasn't the greatest linebacker in the history of Penn State, but he was a very solid football player, just every game. Very, very solid, and he might have had an injury. I'm not even sure about that for some reason. Maybe in the pros when he first came in the NFL. I forget.
Remember the Orange Bowl game? He blitzed on Weatherford, and he got hit on the blitz on the knee and tore that knee up. And then they had to bring in this true freshman linebacker to replace him in the latter stages of the fourth quarter in the three overtimes. That guy's name was what? Oh, Sean Lee.
Yeah, Sean Lee. Well, he had kind of a checkered history physically, too, for a while.
Sean Lee's checkered history health-wise actually happened after his junior year. Sean Lee was healthy his freshman, sophomore, junior years, and then he dropped back to cover a pass over the middle at Haluba Hall, and he went up and he just missed the ball, and he came down because that was at practice when it happened, and he came down on the knee and he tore the ACL. He had to sit out the entire 2008 season.
Well, I wanted to just mention Pelezny because I'll tell you what, if you get 11 in your career, I don't care what you're doing in this day and age. If you get 11 in the workforce anymore, you're pretty lucky. If you don't care if it's at McDonald's. So that's a realistic, that's a nice career, and I congratulate him. He's really played very well for a team that wasn't that good either.
Yeah. He, like I said, he made the playoffs once his last year. And Paul, by the way, we had Paul on the show last November, as a matter of fact. He joined us from Jacksonville. He couldn't have been any better.
Yeah. So what about, what do you think about Barkley? Anything in particular, or don't you?
I think Barkley's in a great spot. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the spot you're in. You know, do you fit what they want to do? Do you give them a need they don't have? And with the Giants, they have not really had a great running back, probably since Tiki Barber. And Tiki Barber could catch the ball, was a good running back, was not a great blocker. Barkley, obviously, is a great runner. He's become a really good receiver, and he is a good blocker. In a system that already has an established winning quarterback that knows how to get it done and does have a go-to star wide receiver, both of which take the pressure off Barkley that he has to do everything. So I think the fit is really good for Saquon.
Well, I'm hoping so. I don't root for anybody in professional football. But I'd be happy. If you can survive in New York, I don't care if it's for the Giants or the Jets or the Yankees. It doesn't matter who, the Mets. You can survive anywhere. So I hope he does well, because the fans can be brutal there, almost as bad as Philadelphia fans, in a sense, if you don't win or don't do well.
So far, of course, he hasn't played a game yet. He hasn't fumbled yet. In fact, the last time he fumbled was the Maryland game in 2016. So he hasn't done anything wrong. So right now they love him.
Well, let's hope so. It's coming up fast. I think the preseason games start quickly here, real quickly.
How about tomorrow? How about Thursday night?
Thursday night
is the Hall of Fame game, and then the next week is when everybody plays.
Yeah, the Canton game coming up.
Yeah, the Canton game. That's why Roquan Smith, the Bears, reported so early, because they're in the Canton game. Well, Roquan Smith, of course, has been holding out, you know, because he's looking for that hit clause in his contract. You know, like, if I'm the Bears, I'm like, just play.
So who's in the Hall of Fame game this year?
I believe it's Chicago and Baltimore, I believe.
Baltimore, okay. I think it's the Ravens and the Bears.
Because whichever team wins there will win one more game than Cleveland did last year.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yes.
Brutal.
I know.
Brutal, Dick.
I know.
Hey, Adam Kaplan said this on this show last week. Don't sleep on them Cleveland Browns. You just never know.
Yeah, they sleep on themselves. Goodbye.
That's good, Dick.
Yeah, he is
gone. Mic drop. Dick from Milton. Mic drop. We'll come back. Wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. I mean, you should have listened to Sean during the break. As soon as he found out Wilson Ramos might not be available till September 1st.
I was like, oh, man.
Boy, we're talking about panic.
Well, they knew what they were getting into. They knew that going in before they pulled the trigger.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. I guess just automatically assume he'd be out there right away, but.
He's got a hamstring.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, you got to, These are tough times, man.
I mean, the other thing we were kicking around during the break, yeah, I mean, they didn't check off every box with making their moves, but that's the thing. You know, they didn't touch any of the top prospects.
Right. So, that's, they didn't do that. I mean, look, you know how I feel about rentals. I think the Phillies went out, and I don't know, Loop to me is going to be, who the heck was that left-handed pitcher? He pitched with everybody. He pitched with the Giants, the Red Sox. He was with the Phillies, where all he did was face left-handers, and he was really good. You know, and he'd come in, you know, okay, and we're done. Okay, we faced our one hitter, two hitters, we're done. Was it Lopez? Left-handed Javier Lopez. I don't mean the catcher. I mean the pitcher. And that's what I think they hope Loop can be, a left-handed guy to get a one or two left-handed guys out that matches up statistically to what Gabe Kapler wants to do. Ramos, to me, I don't know what's going to happen, but let's just start with this, right? If you're going to try and win, that's a winning move. Now, when he gets back out there, I don't know, but it's a winning move. You're upgrading yourself defensively a catcher. You're upgrading yourself offensively a catcher. Hey, he's a proven player. You know how I feel about proven players versus the guy that hasn't proven anything yet. All right? Yeah, I mean that. Now let's go to the other part. Yeah, I know people value prospects, so I understand that completely. Okay, I do value. Okay, but, okay, if I have an established player versus a prospect, I'll take the established player. Okay, my team, the Red Sox, got Ian Kinsler. Yeah, that's the kind of guy you get at the deadline. They gave up two relief pitchers. Okay. Both of them throw hard. One might be major league ready, but not consistently. I want the proven guy. I want the guy that's been around that can handle major league hitters on the mound and can handle major league pitchers at the plate. Because they have a track record that shows they do. I mean, Chris Archer has kind of an up and down track record, more up than down. All right, so the Pirates get him. And not only that, he's still got 3 years left in his contract after this year, and it's very, very club friendly. It's only $27 million for the next 3 years. So that's a parallel people realize. It's like, oh, they gave up Austin Meadows. Okay, but do you have any idea how good Austin Meadows is? He doesn't have a track record. Archer does. Right? Glasnow has a limited track record. In the majors, it's a lot of hope and no substance. Archer at least has some substance. I mean, Archer is not just, has not just watched the All-Star game on TV. He's actually been to it. And Ramos is a winning move for the Phillies. Okay? Now, maybe it doesn't pan out. We don't know. But on this particular day, on July 31st, I'm telling you, winning organizations make the Wilson Ramos trade.
I guess my concern is if he's not playing till September 1st and the team's on the hook for $4 million.
Oh, it's not your money.
Right, but I'm just saying if they're paying that much, it'd be great to be on the field a little more. But.
And guess what? 4 weeks to go in the season when you're in the thick of the thing, you got him. You got him. You may have to wait a few weeks for him, but now you've got him. He's your guy now. I'd rather have him than not have him. Just like in some ways, I mentioned this is a very subtle, like, improve the ball club move, but Robinson Cano is going to be back. He can't play in the postseason, but Robinson Cano is going to help the Mariners in the final 6 weeks of the season. going to help him. I mean, these are, these are the people, these are winning moves, okay? If you want to win, and they didn't give up one of their top 30 prospects. To me, as a player, I mean, as a fan, hey, who cares about the $4 million? What are you going to do, raise your ticket prices because they got Wilson Ramos? That's their money. So that's a winning move. I like it. Loop, to be frank with you, the Loop thing, I'm like, I'm not sure why they made the trade because in the last 3 years, he's done very little. So to me, that one's hard to justify. I mean, I know they didn't give up much for him in terms of, a major league guy, but. By the way, 40 Penn State football alumni are in NFL training camp rosters. 40. That is the most Penn State has had since 2012 when they had 41. The Giants have 3. Saquon Barkley, Grant Haley, Tyrell Chavis. Let's see. The Bears, Rams, Raiders, Niners, Tampa Bay, Tennessee have 2 Penn State alums apiece. Adrian Amos, of course, is in his 4th year with the Bears. Allen Robinson is now with the Bears. Sean Lee, of course, with Dallas. Stefan Wisniewski with the Eagles. Chris Hogan with the Patriots. Ross Travis with Indianapolis. How about coaching? Tom Bradley with the Steelers, Gary Brown with the Cowboys, Bobby Engram with the Raiders, Al Golden with the Detroit Lions, Danton Lynn with the Houston Texans, and Mike Munchak with the Steelers. I mean, you want to talk about well-represented. Penn State's well-represented in these camps. And yes, the Steelers have Marcus Allen, Parker Cothran, Malik Golden, and Jesse James. They have 4 guys. So, a good day for the Phillies. Yeah, Loop. All right. To me, so what? Wilson Ramos, good pickup.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.